There are many opinions in the world about Jesus. Now, granted, there are a lot of people that don't know who he is at all. Probably some still that have never even heard the name Jesus. But of those that have heard the name Jesus, everybody generally forms an opinion. Some people think Jesus was nothing more than a myth or a legend or a fairy tale, something that somebody has made up along the way in order to control people and try to prevent them from having fun and enjoying life, I suppose. Some people think that. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asked his disciples. I don't think Jesus was wondering about his identity. I don't think he had to go and find himself and learn who he was and was concerned that much about what people thought, because he just told the truth as it was. But in Matthew 16, he asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people say that I am?" Well, they answer him, "Some think you're John the Baptist. Others think you're Elijah, or maybe Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." People had various opinions of who they thought Jesus was and who he is. Jesus put it directly to them, though, and he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Of course, this is the famous, one of the good things that Peter said in his time with Jesus on this earth. He was often sticking his foot in his mouth and saying the wrong thing, but here he said the right thing. He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So people had all kinds of opinions about Jesus, who he was. But what did Jesus say about himself? What did he say about himself? I want you to listen to a few statements from the Gospel of John where Jesus said, "I am." Okay? John chapter 8, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." He is the light of the world. We thought the sun that's shining out there today was the light of the world. I thought of the Apostle Paul as he was going to Damascus to persecute more Christians. The Bible says in the book of Acts that there was a light brighter than the noonday sun. Jesus is brighter than the sun. He is the light of the world. Jesus in John chapter 8 says, "I am from above." In his conversation with the Jews, they were accusing him of doing the devil's work and being a sinner and this and that. He said, "I am from above, you are from below. I am from my Father and you are of your father, the devil." Jesus in John chapter 10, that famous passage about the shepherd, the good shepherd, he said, "I am the door into the sheepfold. No man can come in or go out except through me. I am the door." He said, "I am the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep." In John chapter 11, right before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He's the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 14, Jesus was talking about this place in heaven that he is going to prepare for them. And he said, "You know the way to where I'm going." And they said, "We don't know the way." And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In John chapter 15, he says, "I am the true vine, and you are the branches." You ever picture yourself as a branch in a vine? That Jesus is the vine that supplies nutrients to the branches, and we are the branches. He's the true vine. Today I want to look more detailed at what Jesus said in John chapter 6, where he said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." So if you have your Bible, look at John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. John 6, 25 through 35. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. He is the bread of life. He is our bread for life. So I want to lift three verses out of that, out of those 11 verses, and focus on three different aspects that Jesus is to us. Number one, Jesus is the source of life. Look at verse 33. Verse 33, Jesus says, For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. He's the source of life. He gives life to the world. Every time there's a new baby born, delivered, and we see that wonderful creation of God for the very first time, we know that God has given life. Jesus gives life to the world. He's the source of life. John chapter 1, verse 3 says that all things were made by him. If all things were made by him, everything that we can see, that includes you and me. All things were made by him. He's the source of life. Remember the time in the book of Exodus when Moses was there? He was tending his father Jethro's sheep, and he saw this peculiar sight up on the hill, and he wondered what in the world it was. And he, as he drew nearer, he saw that it was a bush that was on fire. The burning bush. On fire, but it was not consumed. It just kept blazing the fire. And that was the Lord. Remember, God said to Moses, Take off your shoes, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And while he was there, God called him to go into Egypt, to go back to Egypt and lead his people out, because the cry of his people had reached the ears of God, and he wanted to send a deliverer for them, and it was Moses. And Moses didn't want to go. He was reluctant, he was hesitant, he was scared, he was afraid. He had left Egypt under bad circumstances. He was afraid to go back there, and he began to ask questions. One of the questions that Moses asked there was, when I go back there and I talk to the people and they ask me, who has sent you, what shall I tell them? And God said, I am that I am. He said, tell them that I am has sent you. Now, that, we don't talk that way, do we? That sounds like improper grammar. I am has sent me to you, huh? That's his name. I am. He's the great I am that sent Moses back to Egypt. And that's who Jesus is. He's the great I am. When he was having this conversation, long conversation in John, I think it was in chapter 8, when Jesus began to talk about Abraham. Abraham said, or Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Of course, they were skeptical about Jesus anyway, and they said, hey, you're not even 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? Jesus said this, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was, I am. I am. That's who Jesus is. He's the source of life. Colossians says that all things were created by Him and for Him, including all life, all plant and animal life, all human life comes through Jesus. In Genesis chapter 1, the very beginning, the dawn of creation, after God had made everything except mankind, the Bible says that the Lord said, "Let us make man in our image." Jesus was there in the beginning with the Father, with the Holy Spirit, making man in His image. 1 John chapter 1, John was one of the inner group of disciples that was closest to Jesus in His earthly ministry. You may remember that John referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I think he loved all of them. John just felt a little bit especially close and probably was closer maybe than most. But John writes in his epistle in 1 John chapter 1, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." Well, that's a mouthful, isn't it? But John is saying to his readers, those that will read his letter, hey, we've seen Him. Our eyes have beheld Him. We have heard Him. Our hands, we have touched Him. We know who He is. He is eternal life. He was manifested to us. He is the source of life. As we think about life, let's think for a minute about the high regard that the Bible shows for life. In the Old Testament, God set a precedence that I believe continues to this day. Life is so valuable that God said in the beginning that whoever takes man's life from him, his life shall be required. That's valuing life. And we have fallen far from that position. Man is created in the image of God, and when we attack another person, we're attacking God, who's made in His image. But we've fallen far from that position. Let's just look at two examples. Abortion is taking or ending life before God's time for birth, which happens every day in our country. Euthanasia tends to be those that are near, you know, late in life, or those who have a terrible disease that they don't think they can ever recover from. Euthanasia is ending life before God's time for death. So two opposite ends of the spectrum in a way: ending life before the time for birth and ending life before the time for death. Life is from the Lord. And we have no right individually to take somebody else's life. Life should be sacred in all stages, all conditions. Jesus is the source of life. Not only is He the source of physical life, but He is the source of eternal life. He is the bread of life. He is the Word of God. Jesus, when He was tempted by the devil out in the wilderness, and the devil came to Him and said, "If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread," because He was hungry after fasting 40 days and 40 nights. I get hungry after about 2 or 3 hours. Jesus was hungry, and the tempter, Satan, came to Him and said, "Hey, command these stones to become bread." And what was Jesus' response? "It is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." That's the important thing. The bread of life, He is the Word of God. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the living Word of God. He is the bread of life. And it's that Word of God that when we hear it and we receive it and we respond to it, that eternal life is given to us. "Whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16, Jesus' words. Jesus in this passage says, "He who comes to Me..." There's nobody else we can go to. Can't go to Muhammad, can't go to Buddha, can't go to you name it. anybody else you can think of, he who comes to me, Jesus said, will have eternal life. At one point in Jesus' ministry, he had several of his disciples to desert him. The way was getting a little too hard. He was teaching them things that they were reluctant to follow. And they began to desert him. And he looked at the ones that were remaining. He said, will you also go away? And their response to him was this: to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. There is nobody else that we can go to. So Jesus is the source of life. He gives life to the world. Second thing is, Jesus is the sustainer of life. Look at verse 27. John 6, 27. Jesus says, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. You see, these people had just eaten and were filled earlier in John chapter 6. He was there with a multitude of people. He was concerned about their strength because they had been with him all day and hadn't had anything to eat. He said, hey, guys, let's feed these people. And they said, how can we feed such a large crowd? He said, well, look and see what you have. And they looked around and found a little boy had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And they said, but what are they among so many? But Jesus did this great miracle. He said, have the people to sit down. And he blessed the bread and the fish, and he broke it and he distributed it to the people. And 5,000 men, not counting women and children, ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets of fragments that remained. And Jesus said to them there in verse 26, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Isn't that just like people even to this day? You have something to eat, a big meal, and you're more likely to get a crowd, right? So these people were coming back to Jesus again. It's an amazing thing here that the people were there on one side of the sea where he had done this great miracle, and they saw his disciples get into a boat, and Jesus wasn't with them. And they sailed across to the other side of the sea, and they looked for Jesus. He wasn't there. They come around to the other side, and Jesus is there. Say, Lord, how did you get here? He had walked on the water and joined the disciples in the boat. That's why they were asking that question there, and why it says when they found him on the other side of the sea, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here? And Jesus said, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. What kind of food is that? Well, we've talked about it a lot already. It's Jesus. He's the bread of life. It's his word. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, we know that food is vital to sustain life. There's none of us that's strong enough to live very long without food. When food runs out, our life ends, right? In a short time. Well, God provides food for life. Didn't Jesus teach us when he taught his disciples how to pray, give us this day our daily bread? Every meal that we have, every bite of food that we have that comes from above is provided by the Lord. He gives us strength to go and work and to earn a living and to bring food in. God provides food for life. Think of Elijah in the Old Testament. He was hungry, and he was led to a widow of Zarephath, and he wanted her to give him something to eat. And she said, well, I just have just a little bit of oil and flour here, and I'm saving them for our last meal because we got a great famine here, and we're just going to die soon anyway. And Elijah said, no, you have to bake me a cake first before you eat. You have to prepare food for me. And so she did. And the Bible says that when she did that the jar of oil never run dry. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry. And it never did until that famine was over. God provides food. Jesus, as I said here, he had just fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves and 2 fish. For all those thousands of people to eat, this young boy had to give up all that he had for Jesus to bless it and multiply it. So the people here, after they came to Jesus again because he gave them food, they asked for a sign. They said, "Hey, Moses gave us manna in the wilderness. What sign will you do? What great work will you do?" Well, that's true. Israel in the Old Testament, as they were going to the promised land on their journey, manna from heaven fell. All they had to do was go out and pick it up. They had all that they needed to eat and to sustain them. But Jesus here says that he was that manna. The Bible bears that out in other places as well. Jesus is the true bread from heaven. He is the bread of life. Look at verses 48 through 51. In that same chapter, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." Jesus is that manna. He is that true bread. He is. His life and death paid the price and sustains us through life. Notice here that Jesus emphasizes the eternal over the temporal. He said, "Don't labor for food that perishes, but for that which endures to eternal life." Did you all know that man is more than flesh and blood? We're more than just flesh and bones and blood. We're more than that. Yet that's all people tend to care about, is their natural self, their physical body. As long as I have enough food to eat, if I go and work out, pump some iron and build up my muscles and watch what I eat and diet and exercise, I'll be healthy and, you know, look in the mirror and, you know, just admire oneself and just focusing all on the flesh. But man is more than flesh and blood. Our favorite foods can only take us so far. Physical fitness only keeps us going for so long. Eventually this body will wear out despite all the food that we can eat. And then what? Paul wrote that exercise profits little, but godliness blesses both now and eternally. Jesus emphasized the eternal over the temporal. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is renewed day by day." He said, we do not fix our eyes on the things which are seen, but we fix our eyes on the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen are eternal. What's on the inside? The inner man. Those things. Don't focus on the temporary, but focus more on the eternal. So just as manna sustained physical life, so Jesus sustains spiritual life and eternal life. He is the sustainer of life. As meat and potatoes sustain my body, so the Word of God sustains my spirit. How do we receive this bread of life? Jesus said, "He who comes to me, I will not turn away. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And we come to him and ask him to forgive us and to be our Lord and Savior, he does just that. So Jesus is the source of life. He's the sustainer of life. And third thing, Jesus gives satisfaction in life. Look at verse 35, John 6:35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." Wow, what if you could find a source of food that you eat at one time and you're never hungry ever again? Or find a source of drink that you drink that one time and you never are thirsty again. That's amazing, isn't it? But that's what Jesus is. to the inner man, to that which is eternal. Jesus satisfies all of our inner desires. All the other sources fail to satisfy. All the other avenues that we search in life do not bring satisfaction. We can seek wealth, we can seek material things, we can seek power and prestige and power and authority, we can seek anything that this world has to offer, and we are going to end up dissatisfied. It just doesn't feel. The reason is because there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person that only God can fill. You've probably seen little children trying to work puzzles before, and there's a missing piece of the puzzle right here in this one area, and they think, man, this is the piece. It has to fit there. And they try to press it and squeeze it, and it just doesn't fit. And they find another piece. Something else has got to fit there. But there's only one piece ultimately that fits in that empty spot. And so Jesus is the only piece that fits in the hole that's in our heart. We can try to fill it with everything else, but it leaves us feeling empty. He is what belongs there. There's a kid's character or program from years ago called the Donut Man. Anybody remember the Donut Man? He made a lot of little kids' programs and kids' songs, and he took the illustration of a donut. He said, hey, and he started this club called the Donut Repair Club. He said, there's a hole in every one of these donuts. They're broken. There's a missing piece. And so they would get busy and fill that donut hole with what was missing. And so we need to fill that hole that's in our heart with Jesus. He is all that will fit there. Jesus satisfies all inner desires. He satisfies our inner thirst. Inner thirst sends some to alcohol and other drugs. But it doesn't satisfy. It just ends up in brokenness. Lives ruined, lives cut short. It doesn't satisfy. Inner thirst sends some to lust and greed. If I can just have more, if I can just make a little bit more money, if I can just save up a little bit more, if I can just have this car, this house, or these clothes, if I can just do that, then I'll be happy. But happiness eludes them. It's always out in front. They never get it. It does not satisfy. None of these satisfy. True satisfaction is found only in Jesus. Jesus offered the woman at Jacob's well living water. She came there with her water jars to draw water from the well, and he offered her something that's far better. He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water, that whoever drinks of this will never thirst. She said, hey, give me this water so I don't have to keep coming back to this well. But he wasn't talking about physical water. He was talking about the water of life, which is Jesus himself. He said, this water springs up to eternal life. He satisfies. Jesus is the bread of life and living water. He is all I need. As the old song says, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus sustains life. Jesus gives satisfaction in life. He said that the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil. He's out to steal everything that we have. He's out to kill. He's out to destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He offers that which is truly life. So I encourage you, come to Christ. Give your heart to Jesus fully, without reservation, without worry. He will take full responsibility for your life if you give it to Him. There was a letter that was found in a can wired to the handle of an old pump out in the middle of the desert. Somebody was traveling along and they came along the side of the road and found this well, an old pump that was there, and there was a letter attached to that old pump. And what the letter said, once he opened the letter said, under the white rock, I buried a bottle of water. out of the sun and the cork end is up. There's enough water in it to prime the pump. But not if you drink some of it first. If you drink some of it first, no matter how thirsty you are, you will not have enough to get what you need. So use the water that's in the bottle to prime the pump, and the moisture will get the system to work. You'll get all the water you can use. The well has never run dry. Just have faith. Don't drink that water first. Pour it in and get the well going. And after you get watered up, fill up the bottle and put it back where you found it for the next person that comes along. What would you do if you ran into that situation? You are so desperate, dying of thirst, and you find under this rock a bottle of water. Man, I am so thirsty. I need to drink. I need this bad. But if you follow the instructions and give what you have, you'll get back more than you could ever use. That's what Jesus offers to us. If we try to hold on to our life, we'll end up losing it. But if we give it all to Him, He will richly, richly repay us. Give us all the joy, purpose in life that we could possibly have. The boy had to give his whole lunch for the crowd to be filled. The widow had to use her flour and oil to bake a cake for Elijah in order for the jar to never run dry. If we try to hold on to our life, what little we have, we end up losing it. But when we give it all to Jesus, He blesses us more than we could ever imagine. Will you give it to Him today? Let's stand together as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus, who is the bread of life. Lord, we thank You that He is the source of life, that He has given us life. We thank You that He sustains us, that He not only saves us, but He sustains us along the journey. He gives us what we need. He brings satisfaction. Lord, we thank You for the purpose and meaning to our life that You have given us now. We're not wandering around in circles aimlessly. But God, we have a direction. We have a journey that we're on to follow Jesus all the way home. And God, I just pray that You will help somebody today to make their decision to serve Jesus, to receive Him as Lord and Savior, and to grow from there. Father, bless in this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Draw us by Your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name.